Thank you for joining The Bevel Talk, Season 2, Episode 6. Life as a pipe welder brings a unique language, a wide range of job requirements, and a high degree of skills. Today, we're talking about a welder's view of the labor shortage. Let's get right into it.
Welcome to Bevel Talk. Thanks for joining us today. We're back with Andre Stewart, Jeff Robidoux, and Craig Spindler with Miller Electric. Today, we're going to talk about labor shortages in the trades. What have you guys seen, or what has been going on around you guys as you've been working to help reduce the labor shortage or draw younger people into the trades?
Sure. A few years ago, I was contacted by a local high school in our area to come in and talk about welding and my career path and all that. As I was in there, I found out they have a co-op program where they team up with local contractors, whether it be welding, machining, stuff like that in the trades, where these young men and women have a chance to go try out this career, see if this is the path they want to do. This one particular young man, he was in the co-op program. Then he went and worked at a contractor. Then through Local 400 and the contractor, he had a youth apprenticeship program where he could go to the hall and learn some of the trades there, welding and stuff like that. He did a test for the contractor, passed, and now he's in an apprenticeship program, and he's going into a third-year apprentice this year. And he's been going to school, you know, day school for welding, blueprint reading, math, and all that stuff. And Andre, he's been a teacher there.
Right. I was an instructor for Local 400 for 11 years for welding. So I was one of the instructors that was ran the night school classes. So the students would come in for 3 hours a night, one day a week for 30 hours. And that was part of the one of the requirements for their apprenticeship, is they have to log so many hours in the classroom with an instructor. And they also have a certain amount of tests they're required to do each year. I believe it was 3 weld tests per year had to be done during their apprenticeship so they could get to their journeyman status.
So, Craig, I know you came up through the trades and through programs. What was your experience like?
Yeah, so I was similar to the other gentleman that Jeff was referring to. Is in high school, I happened to be working and went to work for a contractor, kind of like in a co-op program during the high school area, and worked through that and ended up working for the contractor and getting a youth apprenticeship program and actually an apprentice program at that time. They didn't have the youth yet. Worked it through and was successful there. And in the future, as you work through, then I ended up working for other contractors, being foreman on jobs and running things. So really, it's endless on depending on where you want to go. If you want to travel and see the world, you want to go wherever you want. I mean, those opportunities are there for you once you're through those programs. And I found they were very helpful and very beneficial in the long run. There's a lot of support staff there and people to help you along the way. That's for sure.
And the one nice thing, too, about what Local 400 is doing, particularly in the area, is they're giving the opportunity to more young women to get into the trades. And through the traveling I've been doing and all that, you're seeing more and more women in the trades as welders and fitters and that, which is great to see. You know, when I first started out, there wasn't really any women in the industry. Now you're starting to see more and more. So these apprenticeship programs and what they're doing with the high schools early on is really getting everybody engaged in the programs.
I would definitely agree with Jeff. And some of the welders that we see out there, the better ones are actually some of the females, especially in the TIG welding and things like that, where it's a lot more hand-eye coordination, things like that. Their dexterity is just a little bit better than a male, actually, in the long run. So they actually are very successful. You know, it's not like we're lifting real heavy things and people think that they can't be in that industry. That's not really what it's about, right? So, I mean, I think that there's a lot of successful women out there in this industry.
The welding industry has definitely changed and continuing to change. And really, you get to punch your own ticket. Once you become a welder, you get to start to work towards what you want to do. If you want to become an inspector, if you want to become a foreman, you can work towards that and learn the skills that you need and continue to progress. And these types of programs are important because there is a huge labor shortage, especially for welders, but in all the trades. I mean, carpentry, masonry, electricians, all of us are struggling because there's almost a war against working with your hands and being a tradesman. You know, 25 welders retired today, guys, and 25 will retire tomorrow, and we're not replacing them at that kind of a rate at all. What are we going to do and how are we going to keep up with building infrastructure and pipelines and keeping what we need as a country and as a continent going? You know, more and more programs, more and more people need to be coming in and made aware of the opportunities that a trades job can actually provide.
Yeah, and it starts at high school. You know, they need to start promoting trade schools a little more than they are. I mean, everything is, you think you need to go on to a four-year college. Not everybody's cut out for a four-year college. You know, trades is for a lot of people. So they need to start promoting that a lot more in the schools.
Right. And a lot of people, you know, in the trades, when you're putting a vessel together, you're doing geometry, you're doing trigonometry, you're studying, you're fitting, you're doing more math than you'll ever dream of doing on a day-to-day basis. You need to communicate well with people. You need to be able to, whether it be a hazard or a job or whatever, you need to be able to communicate clearly and concisely so you can come to an agreement and move forward with a job. It's not just a brawn and no-brain job. It's a very challenging and fun experience.
Absolutely. There's actually, you know, like you said, where do you want to go? There's a couple companies in our area that are owned by welders. They came up through the trades, through the apprenticeship programs, right? They're very successful, and here they are, company owners, right? And doing very well in teaching and keeping this tradition going and trying to support the industry.
So for me, welding was kind of the family business. My father was a welder, and then he went to teach. He was a teacher. He taught welding for 30 years. And you know, for me, it's been really fun to see farm kids from Idaho and Montana and Wyoming come to school and go on to work for large corporations and international corporations and become something that they never dreamed they could be. In their wildest dreams, they thought they'd work on the dairy farm for the rest of their life. And now they're vice presidents of organizations and really did something that they never thought they could do through programs and through educations and trades. So how do we promote this? How do we help expand this? What are you seeing other unions doing or other companies doing out there in your travels?
I don't know. Like Jeff said, I think it really starts from the high schools and those areas. It seems like the areas that have where the high schools and the technical colleges are involved seem to be more on the leading edge, shall I say, right? The people that are willing to invest that and realize that those areas, especially like our area, has a lot of construction and has a lot of paper mills, had a lot of different stuff. They need those maintenance people. They need those people, right? I think those are the more successful areas that are trying to push that trade side more of it for any of the trades, right? That's what I'm seeing out there.
I think a lot of the trade, say like Local 400, I think they recognized that a few years back. So I think they're starting to pay more attention to the high schools and get them interested in it early.
Right. I think that's critical is, you know, when you're trying to decide what you want to do, it starts earlier and earlier, right? The kids are exposed to so much more today than we ever were and what the possibilities are out there. And we want to show them what those possibilities are.
Outdated equipment threatens productivity, profitability, and safety. Learn how Miller XMT 350 Field Pro systems with ArcReach can improve your job site at millerwelds.com/ArcReach.
So, what's the best advice you have for somebody that's interested in a career in welding or in the trades? Or what do you have advice for somebody that thinks that they might be interested in the trades? Where do they start? What's their path?
I would say if they're interested in trades, find your local union hall and go talk to, you know, the guys there and start there first, and they'll guide you in the right direction, what way to go.
Yeah, talk to the people from the trades, right? Start there, talk to people that are doing it so they understand where it's at. It's a good living, and it's a good way of life. It really is. You have to be willing to work and do what you want to do, but it can lead you anywhere you want to go.
My advice is that it's not scary, right? Going out and talking to people. We as welders want to bring more people into the trades. We want to bring more people in to talk, to teach, to be part of, and to see the happiness and success that we've made. Now, one of the problems that we see is the age gap in welding, right? The welders are getting older and older and older, and the entrants in are coming younger and younger and younger. And how do we share the knowledge of a 60, 65-year-old welder with a 18 to 20 to 22-year-old kid? They learn differently. They think differently. You know, most of these welders, they get up in the morning. They show up to work on time. They're there. They get their news from the newspaper. They read. They do what they're supposed to do. And they're just consistent and they're solid. And then most of the younger generation, you know, they've had a phone in their pocket most of their life or their entire life. That's how they get their news, whether it be social media or online. They're looking for something a little bit different in a career path. They're looking for things that a little bit different at work. You know, how do we bridge that gap? I don't have an answer for that, and I don't think we're going to come up with an answer for that in this room. But I think it's something that's important for the trades to consider and think about. How do we show or teach or become the type of organizations that is attracting more and more into the trades?
I think they're trying that now. I think there's some apps out there that give people some ranges, you know, younger people getting to start that they can look up on their iPhone. There's apps that'll tell them, hey, this is the amperages for this stick, you know, that type of thing. So it gives them a good starting point. So it gets them into that, but that also allows them to work with the older welders to be able to help with that a little bit as well. Techniques, like Jeff said, everybody's technique is different, right? Everybody's learning speed is different. So those are things that helps them intermingle with each other, technology and older hands-on.
Okay, so I have kind of a fun question, and we can debate about it. But from when you started, how long did it take for you to think that you were an okay or a good welder?
Every day I'm learning.
Every day?
Yep, every day.
Absolutely. Every day you're learning because everything is always different.
You might walk into the exact same place, the same machine, same everything, and it's going to be completely different every day.
Correct.
Absolutely. Every joint is different. Every weld is different.
I remember when I thought I had finally mastered, quote unquote, stick welding, and then the instructor, you know, okay, now let's put a restrictor plate on that, right? I didn't have a clue what I was doing at that point. And I think it's key that we continue to learn and to adapt and make sure that we're always open to learning.
Absolutely. I mean, we do training with some of the other locals that are out there, you know, for instructors to go to training every year, right? I mean, it's important for those instructors to get up to speed with all the new technologies as well. So we try and do a lot of training with that as well. So there's, like Jeff said, we're always learning. If you stop learning, you're in trouble.
Thanks for joining us on Bevel Talk. We'll see you next time with Craig, Jeff, and Andre.